Coming to you from somewhere in Sanctuary, this is episode 452 of Shattered Soulstone, your Diablo community podcast. This episode is called No BlizzCon, which some of you may have heard about, but I'll go into details in just a minute. Today is April 4, 2024, and this is Jen. So I'm starting off, of course, with the update on this year's BlizzCon and Blizzard's 2024 live events post that was posted on April 25th. But I'll get to that in just a minute, because some of you may have noticed that I skipped an entire month of podcasting. And the reason was I have a ton of food allergies, and there was something I ate that had a specific allergen in it that my body cannot break down. So I really was sick for a very long time, like all through March and part of April. And it was really bad. I didn't need to be hospitalized or anything because there would be nothing a hospital could do for me to fix that. And it was just excruciating and painful and exhausting. But I'm back now. So here we go. So again, I'm going to start with the Blizzard post titled, An Update on This Year's BlizzCon and Blizzard's 2024 Live Events, and I'm just going to read it to you. It's not very long. This is what they wrote. After careful consideration over the last year, we at Blizzard have made the decision not to hold BlizzCon in 2024. This decision was not made lightly, as BlizzCon remains a very special event for all of us, and we know many of you look forward to it. While we're approaching this year differently, and as we have explored different event formats in the past, rest assured that we are just as excited as ever to bring BlizzCon back in future years. Over the next few months, we'll be sharing more details about our launches coming later this year, including World of Warcraft, The War Within, and Diablo IV's first expansion, Vessel of Hatred. I'm going to stop there for a second. I remember them doing a live broadcast that included some images from the Vessel of Hatred expansion, so I'm kind of excited to see that or play that. I haven't been playing Diablo 4 in a while because, as I said, I got sick. But I'll get back to it. To continue on with this post. To celebrate these upcoming releases and to bring our communities together in new and special ways, we will soon share some exciting plans for other industry trade shows and conventions like Gamescom. We can't wait to tell you more about those plans soon. We're also looking forward to the Overwatch Champions Series stops at both DreamHack Dallas and DreamHack Stockholm, and we're thrilled to be planning multiple global in-person events to commemorate the 30th anniversary of Warcraft, which will be held in addition to the in-game celebrations across our Warcraft games throughout 2024. While these events are distinct from BlizzCon, we're harnessing all of our creativity and imagination to ensure that they carry the same spirit of celebration and togetherness. Our hope is that these experiences, alongside several live-streamed industry events, where we'll keep you up to date with what's happening in our game universes, will capture the essence of what makes the Blizzard community so special. No matter how you choose to connect with us at these events this year, whether it be in person or virtually, we can't wait to see you there. So I figure that's a good way to start off this show, considering you haven't seen me anywhere or heard my voice in a while. So there we are. This was posted on April 25th, 2024. Video Games News posted, Microsoft has, quote, let Blizzard be Blizzard, end quote, following its acquisition, studio says. So here's a little bit from that. This one was written by Jordan Midler. Microsoft has let Blizzard be Blizzard following its acquisition of the studio last year. That's according to Holly Longdale, executive producer and vice president of World of Warcraft, who discussed what life at Microsoft had been like for the developer during a recent interview with VGC. Quote, if anything, it's just been helpful, Longdale said. We got time with Helen Chang from Mojang, and we were sharing information, so it's almost as if we have access to what worked for them. We got to speak to the Elder Scrolls Online team and share what we're up to and what's been working, and it's almost like we get a benefit. There is no one asking us to do anything, she continued. World of Warcraft is doing very well, and they're very proud of what it's been able to accomplish, so it's almost like just let it be and let it keep being awesome. They've been tremendously supportive, and it's like, let Blizzard be Blizzard. And that's probably all you need from that one. It's kind of a short post, but that's what's going on. I think the purpose of this post, if I were to take a guess, is that Microsoft is not coming to Blizzard and saying, you must do this or thou shall not do that kind of thing. So I think that works pretty well. We've also got WindowsCentral.com, who wrote a thing. This is written by Jez Corden with contributions from Samuel Tolbert. Again, this is from April. So it's the title is BlizzCon is skipping 2024 in favor for multiple global events to showcase World of Warcraft, Diablo's expansion, and more. So here's what you need to know. There's a few little bullet points here. BlizzCon is Blizzard's famed convention event, typically annualized and held at the Anaheim Convention Center in the United States. Since 2005, BlizzCon has served as the primary platform for sharing major World of Warcraft, Diablo, StarCraft, and Overwatch news. This year, Blizzard has revealed that BlizzCon will skip 2024 in favor of multiple global events instead. BlizzCon is not canceled, however, and will return in the usual format in the future. Update: Blizzard confirms this decision was made internally at Blizzard, not higher up at Microsoft. So here's a little bit of stuff from this. It's an update. Blizzard Entertainment confirms to Windows Central that the decision to skip BlizzCon in 2024 was made by Blizzard and not from higher up at Microsoft. When this news initially broke, some speculation on social media questioned where the decision came from. Quote, "This is a Blizzard decision. We have explored different event formats in the past, and this isn't the first time we're skipping BlizzCon or trying something new. While we have great things to share in 2024, the timing just doesn't line up for one single event at the end of the year," a Blizzard spokesperson tells Windows Central. Quote, "Instead, we want to focus on highlighting individual games and their moments, Warcraft's multiple anniversaries, the upcoming releases of World of Warcraft: The War Within, and Diablo 4's first expansion, Vessel of Hatred, in particular." So there's that. I've also got another thing here from Blizzard, which was kind of a surprise to me. This one was posted on... when was this posted exactly? I'm not sure, but sometime recently. So it's a press release titled Blizzard Entertainment and NetEase Renew Agreement to Bring Beloved Titles Back to China. Microsoft Gaming, NetEase Enter Broader Collaboration. Blizzard Titles to Return to Mainland China Beginning Summer 2024. Microsoft Gaming and NetEase deepen their relationship with a strategic partnership based on their shared desire to bring new gaming experiences to players across platforms and markets. So here's the presser in its entirety. The rest is kind of hype, and most people probably stop reading there, unless they're trying to do a show like I am. Okay, beloved video game titles from Blizzard Entertainment that captivated millions of players in China will return to the market sequentially beginning this summer under a renewed publishing deal, Blizzard Entertainment, Microsoft Gaming, and NetEase announced today. I don't know what date this is on there, so today could be whenever. I'm not sure. After continuing discussions over the past year, both Blizzard Entertainment and NetEase are thrilled to align on a path forward to once again support players in mainland China and are proud to reaffirm their commitment to delivering exceptional gaming experiences. The renewed publishing agreement will encompass games Chinese players had access to under the previous agreement, World of Warcraft, Hearthstone, and other titles in the Warcraft, Overwatch, Diablo, and StarCraft universes. Building upon more than 15 years of past collaboration, Blizzard and NetEase are working diligently on relaunch plans, with further details to be shared at a later date. Separately, Microsoft Gaming and NetEase have also entered into an agreement to explore bringing new NetEase titles to Xbox consoles and other platforms. Quote, "We at Blizzard are thrilled to reestablish our partnership with NetEase and to work together with deep appreciation for the collaboration between our teams to deliver legendary gaming experiences to players in China," said Joanna Ferries, president of Blizzard Entertainment. "We are immensely grateful for the passion the Chinese community has shown for Blizzard games throughout the years, and we are focused on bringing our universes back to players with excellence and dedication. Celebrating our collaborations, we are thrilled to embark on the next chapter built on trust and mutual respect to serve our users in this unique community that we've built together, said William Ding, Chief Executive Officer and Director, NetEase. Quote, our commitment to providing more exhilarating and creative entertainment experience remains unwavering, and we are excited to see positive synergies fostered to encourage and empower collaborations to bring the joy of gaming to a broad community. Quote, Blizzard and NetEase have done incredible work to renew our commitment to players. Blizzard's universes have been part of players' lives in the region for many years. Returning Blizzard's legendary games to players in China while exploring ways to bring more new titles to Xbox demonstrates the commitment to bringing more games to more players around the world, said Phil Spencer, CEO of Microsoft Gaming. I happen to have an Xbox, and I like it, and I've been playing games on it. I haven't been playing Diablo 4 yet, but I'll probably jump into the new season as it happens. But this is kind of good news, and I think this sort of collaboration with Microsoft and NetEase and Blizzard and NetEase and Xbox and NetEase, I think that's going to like fix what was broken before while Bobby Kotick was in charge of Activision Blizzard. So I think this is like a renewal, and things are going to go really good, and I'm actually really excited that they're going to have more Xbox stuff for me to play with and others who have an Xbox to play with. So I think that's kind of cool. Moving on, we have GamesBeat here, and it's from VentureBeat, actually. It says, Activision Blizzard and Able Gamers Fundraiser Champions Inclusive Design. I always like what happens when people do stuff for the Able Gamers group. There's a logo here of Able Gamers with a little joystick and then Activision Blizzard next to it. Who wrote this one? I don't actually know who wrote this one, but it's here on VentureBeat, so I'm going to read you some of this. Activision Blizzard announced last week that it's working with Able Gamers on a new fundraiser. Last week. I don't know exactly when this was posted, but okay. The company has opened a sweepstakes where participants are eligible to win special prizes, including special trips to Treyarch's and Blizzard Studios, while all funds go to Able Gamers' mission. The campaign is open right now and runs through May 10, so you have some time to get into that if you want to. The two entities have collaborated on three different experiences, one for Call of Duty, one for Diablo, and one for World of Warcraft. All three offer different prize pools, as I guess you would assume, though the top prize for each one is a trip to tour the development studio. Parentheses, Treyarch for Call of Duty, Blizzard for Diablo, and WoW, with paid hotel stay and round-trip tickets. Other prizes include a custom-made ghost mask, a signed Dragonflight Collector's Edition, and a Diablo 4 times Hot Ones hot sauce bottle called Lilith's Hatred. That part's in parentheses. The sweepstakes also promotes Able Gamers' mission of combating social isolation with games. The charity says on the fundraiser's page, quote, we empower people with disabilities to forge meaningful connections that aren't confined by their geographic location or abilities, end quote. Activision Blizzard also praised Able Gamers' efforts in the game design space in its announcement post, quote, inclusive game design is a key pillar throughout our organization because we know that we have a responsibility to create worlds where everyone can feel welcome and play their way. Through its accessible players' experience training, Able Gamers has equipped Activision Blizzard developers with the knowledge and resources to develop more accessible games. And I think that's fantastic because very often if you have a group of people that have some sort of disabilities but really want to play video games anyway, there's ways to make that happen, and I think they're all working on this together as a group for, you know, Able Gamers and Activision Blizzard and all of this kind of stuff. So some of it is like, here's some prizes you can win. But I think the rest of it is that, you know, time and time again, Activision Blizzard really, really does want to have people who have disabilities able to access their games and enjoy their time in those games. And it's going to depend on, you know, what disabilities you may have or how you're going to get around those things. But I think it's good that they're at least like trying and, you know, trying to make sure that, hey, you know, you may have disabilities. Like, I have some disabilities. I'm dyslexic as fuck, right? So I'll get words wrong and stuff once in a while, you've probably heard. But, like, there's a lot of people that have other disabilities that are not like mine that could really benefit from this kind of thing. I don't think there's too many companies that are going to be like, okay, so we have this new cool game we're going to put out, or we have a new expansion for this game we want to put out, and like just ignore all of the things that would make it possible for people with disabilities to play the games, you know? So they need this group because they want to play too. And I think they should be able to play as well. Moving on, we have from maxroll.gg, written by Dreadscythe, who, as I've said many times before, gets everything right, in my opinion. So this is the Season 4 Campfire Chat wrap-up. Did I watch the Campfire Chat? No, I was sick. This was posted a couple days ago on May 2nd of 2024. So I'm just going to read this to you, and you can get all the information that you'd like to glean from this. But Dreadscythe's exceptionally good at these types of things. So here we go. The Season 4 Campfire Chat just took place. The panel consisted of Joseph Priapora, Associate Game Director, Adam Jackson, Lead Class Designer, Colin Feiner, Lead Live Game Designer, Derek Nunez, Lead Seasons Designer, and Adam Fletcher, Associate Director of Community. The topics included PTR learnings. They did have a PTR. Let me go into that for a minute. There was actually a PTR for the upcoming season. I guess the new season, I may be wrong about this, but from what I've seen online, it seems like the new season is going to be accessible with your older characters. So you could go back and run through the storyline if you want to do that. And also there could be a seasonal aspect. So I think that would be kind of neat. So the topics include PTR learnings, class balancing, season 4, and Q&A. See all the major points below. So here's the general part. The dev team discussed general items, the PTR, and what has changed since then. Legendary items give equal amounts of veiled crystal as rare items. Sacred and ancestral break down into 2x and 3x the crafting materials, respectively. Greater affixes now have an easy way to... Now have an easy to recognize. Let me try that again. Greater affixes now have an easy to recognize icon in the name while on the ground, as well as sitting in your inventory. Imprinting costs have gone way down, allowing players to imprint as they want to. Nightmare Dungeon Glyph XP acquisition has been increased by 25%, and rune shards now scale with higher Nightmare Dungeon runs, giving more at higher tiers. Resplendent Spark, which looks like some kind of gem, now drop off your first Tormented boss kill, Uber Lilith kill, and complete the reputation reward with the Iron Wolves. Itemization. There was a reiteration of the changes to items. Rare items have only 2 affixes. Legendaries have 3 affixes. Greater affixes are a cool new addition that can give you 150% of the normal bonus to an affix, or affix, whichever. Also, lowering the quantity of affixes but upping the quality on them on gear was a big step forward. They eased how some damage works, damage on Tuesday, that's in quotes, and simplified some requirements / conditions. Killing monsters at level 100 now guarantees item power 925 loot, reducing inventory sifting. Ultimately, it's about getting a good item and working on it. Tempering. Not too much has changed since the PTR, allowing players to skip the animations was added. Also, a stat range was added to the preview of the rolled affix to help make it clear how good of a roll it is. Masterworking. A lot of the system is unchanged. The skipping feature has been made better with the non-critical ranks being auto-skipped. There is no fail rate for the later ranks of masterworking. However, material costs are adjusted a little bit to compensate. Also, the conversion of materials with caches was stated to be made better from the PTR, with a long-term solution in the works post-Season 4. The Pit. The Pit was stated by the community to be a little too easy. Adjustments have been made to increase monster health to not always be one shot. Also, masterworking materials have been shifted into deeper tiers of when you receive them. Tier 1 materials equals level 1 through 30 was 1 through 20. Tier 2 materials, level 31 to 60, was 21 to 40. Tier 3 materials, level 61 plus, was 41 plus. So those are definite upgrades that seem like they could work. The players in a group that did not open the pit level should receive 50% of the rewards of the player that did open it. This was an increase and hopefully not make group running the pit feel so punishing. Boss ladder. Andariel has been added along with the Tormented version, monster level 200. The effort versus reward wasn't good enough. The team reduced the summoning material requirements for Tormented versions only from 3x to 3x from 5x, with 5x the total rewards given. Other bosses besides Duriel and Andariel have a smaller chance to drop an uber unique now. Season Journey. This is going to be kind of interesting. The dev team will be curating a bunch of legendaries that are focused around a certain build. These will come from completing certain objectives / chapters to help get players up to speed quicker. The five build styles are, for the barbarian, it is the Dust Devils. For the druid, it is Pulverize. For the necromancer, it is Minion Army, which makes absolute sense to me because that's what necromancers do. Have I played one in D4? Not yet. Rogue has Barrage. I've played a rogue before in the game, and a barbarian and some other stuff. And Sorceress has Incinerate. That's the ones they're getting. Then there's the Helltide. A lot has changed with Helltides. The accursed rituals to summon the Blood Maiden for great loot and boss summoning materials. The threat meter, as it fills up, more ambushes and visits from the Hellworm happen more frequently. When a full Hellborn, not a Hellworm, a Hellborn, attacks you, defeating it grants more loot and summoning materials for Lord Zir. Helltides are now in World Tiers 1 and 2. That's new. Some elements like the meteorites and roaming bosses aren't present. This is to make Helltide fun, but not too crazy for lower levels. Here's some more information. Cinder drop rates weren't where the team wanted them. They went back and upped the drop rate to get it where they wanted it. Baneful Heart drops were inconsistent. They don't want players to hoard them, so they made the rate of getting them more stable. Increased rewards have been added to those who contribute to summoning the Blood Maiden. Extra legendary items include Forgotten Souls, Exquisite Blood, and a chance that other boss summoning materials can drop there. Doomsayers no longer have a small chance to drop a Doomsayer's chest. Instead, they just drop that loot directly. That's kind of cool. And next is Season 4 Loot Reborn, which is, from what I've been seeing online, is a pretty accurate description. So this has to do with the Iron Wolves. If you don't know who they are, they've been in a bunch of different Diablo-type games, or Diablo games specifically. So Iron Wolves are a permanent part of Helltide. In Season 4, seasonal players will be able to heed the, quote, call of the wolves, end quote, as you participate and work through the seasonal questline. You'll earn reputation for earning juiced-up rewards, capped off at the end with a resplendent spark, it's a little stone, cosmetics, as well, can be earned. And there's a little picture here of something called Profane Mind Cage, and it just shows you, like, what it can do. Finally, exclusive to seasonal characters is a new elixir, Profane Mind Cage. It increases Helltide monster level, Cinder's drop rates, and threat gain. They are obtained from Hellborn and also through the reputation rewards. Class updates, here we go. The dev team discussed itemization, the PTR, and what has changed since then. PTR lessons, end-game survivability issues. Enemies are kinda easy, and then they one-shot you. Hard to balance on top of top-end survivability. Variability in player defensiveness is high. Armor is confusing. Some stats can get very high, allowing for crazy things. We like crazy things, but have to take computer performance into account. Balance changes and bug fixes. The team brought up three major areas that they took lessons from PTR. They received a lot of feedback and addressed each one for Season 4. So armor. Season 3, physical damage mitigation. Physical resistance cap of 85%. Amount of armor you need to be at the 85% cap is based on the level of the monster you're fighting. Examples, level 50 monsters is 5,265. Level 100 monsters is 9,230. Level 150 monsters is 12,960. Players never know when they're done with armor or the hidden systems. Now for Season 4, here's what's changed. Same as Season 3. Physical damage mitigation, physical resistance cap of 85%. Still need escalating amounts of armor as monster level gets higher. Armor now caps when fighting level 100 monsters. Once you get 9,230 armor, you are finished with your journey. The armor being an infinite scaling stat right now in Season 3, the team went back and capped the amount of armor you'll need at level 100. This is to give the player a goal to hit, a goal that is clear and not hidden, and most importantly, not waste gear Apex slots by going over the capped amount. There's some stat caps. I'm not going to read all of this to you. Balance updates. Okay, I'm going to read that one. Lots of balance changes based on feedback. Changes due to combat readability and to balance player power. Fewer Dust Devils, fewer Fractured Winter Glass, Frozen Orbs. Still going to spawn a lot, just not crazy amounts. Fortify damage reduction increased from 10% to 15%. Many tempering Aphex updates. Druid Wolves health increased by 200%. Respawn rate reduced by 50%. And then there's like some things that are make it clear at the PTR. Here's somebody in a building with a bunch of fire going around them, and I can't even see what the character is in there. There's all these numbers just overlapping each other. That was in the PTR. In season four, some of those numbers still look like they're overlapping, and it looks like the season four one, this is actually training dummies that they're fighting at this point. Then there's Dust Devils, there's visual improvements. So the PTR was this big glowing round thing, and then season four, it's going to be a little bit less than that. The new Scoundrel's Kiss originally made a line of arrows, meaning rogues would have to get up close and a little too personally to get all the damage out of it. In season four, you just point click and all arrows go to that location instead. There's some bug fixes. Druid's Hurricane incorrectly scaling damage. Ebon Piercer's extra missiles incorrectly had a lucky hit chance. Oops. Fixed an issue where Flameweaver was able to split a firebolt multiple times if the firewalls were stacked on top of each other, still discovering and working on other fixes. And then there's some questions in here that you can check out. But this is all from Dreadscythe, who does great work with this. I don't think I would be able to parse out all of this anywhere near as well as he does. So when I find something like this that he's posted, in fact, very recently, just a few days ago, I try to like let all of you know about it as well. Over on Pure Diablo, there's a couple of things to talk about. This was written by Rush. That's the author's name, is Rush, on April 26th. So some of this is April. We just got into May. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. So this is titled Diablo 2 Resurrected and Diablo 3 Coming to GeForce Now. Two classics heading to the cloud soon, courtesy of NVIDIA. Now, this might make some people extremely excited if they're using GeForce Now. Here's a little bit of what was written on this. If you enjoy some cloud gaming, there's news from the NVIDIA camp this evening regarding Diablo 2 Resurrected and Diablo 3 on GeForce Now. While most of you probably won't take advantage of this, it will be an option in the near future, according to NVIDIA. There is no date when these two classic Diablo games are being added, but at least we know they are coming. In February, NVIDIA announced that Diablo 4, Overwatch 2, Call of Duty, HQ, and Hearthstone were being added to the service. The way it works is that if you own the games on Battle.net, you can stream them from NVIDIA GeForce RTX-powered servers in the cloud, and don't have to worry about your hardware or download the games. To try these out, you can use the free pricing option for a quick test or take out a monthly sub to access all the games. Find out more about pricing here. There's a link to here in that particular thing. Another thing from Blizzard we have is Galvanize Your Legend in Season 4 Loot Reborn, and there is a blacksmith trying to, like, modify or fix a sword with all these like embers flying around him. So that's kind of interesting. So here's what this is. I don't know how long this is going to be, but I'll read it to you anyway, since I've been gone for so long. The forges burn with renewed vigor, stoked by braziers to hone the steel of sanctuary's finest. Across the land, hell's expanded legions gather and multiply, marshaling their strength to ambush wanderers that fall prey to their helltide. Fresh from our first public test realm in Diablo 4, Season 4, Loot Reborn begins on May 14 at 10 a.m. PT. Use the itemization overhaul on new systems, tempering and masterworking to change a noteworthy blade into a force to be feared. Across all world tiers, Helltide is reborn. Slay monstrosities to fill your threat meter, marking you as prey for the Hellborn. Prepare to fight side by side with the Iron Wolves, a seasoned mercenary company of brethren aiming to quell the demons. Itemization reforged, masterworking, tempering, and more. Seasons within Diablo 4 bear their mark on Sanctuary in the seasonal realm, unearthing new quests and fresh mechanics to explore and master. Season 4 Loot Reborn, they really named it this, I think, takes on a new theme, overhauling many core game systems to refresh how items are earned, how they function, and how they improve as you level through world tiers during the season. Unlike previous seasonal themes that affect only the seasonal realm, with Season 4 Loot Reborn, these itemization changes persist beyond the seasonal realm and affect the Eternal Realm as well. Read on to learn how itemization will change the way you loot and reap your way across all of Diablo 4. All updates to our new items, classes, and skills will be available in our Season 4 patch notes, which are available here. I didn't bring that into the show, though, following our developer update stream on May 2, which was a couple days ago. General item updates. One of our several goals for the itemization changes is to make it easier to understand which items are upgrades when they drop. We reduced the number of affixes on items down to 3 on legendary items, 2 on rare items, and made these affixes, yeah, I can't pronounce this right, made these affixes more effective. Instead of seeing an affix that relies on conditional values, plus 10% damage on non-injured elites, you'll see affixes such as base increase to your movement speed, max life, or single ranks of a core skill. Dropped items are now simpler to evaluate, and we've moved their complexity and customization to our new crafting systems, tempering and masterworking, which we will describe in more detail below. We've also increased the overall values of these affixes, so they should feel more powerful. There's a couple of screenshots in here. By making items more individually impactful, we've significantly decreased the number of items that drop when slaying monsters. The goal here is to spend more time obliterating and less time sorting through the many items that drop. The result is that fewer items will drop overall, but those items will be more likely to be valuable. To compensate and stay on par with the norm, materials gained from salvaging and crafting have been adjusted to match this change. Also, Forgotten Souls can now be earned from Whisper Bounties and are a rare drop from all elites. The gold cost to reroll items when enchanting now has a maximum, and we've cut down on the materials needed to perform all activities when at the blacksmith. Additionally, which world tier you play in will directly affect the rarity of the items you earn. Sacred items or higher only drop in World Tier 3, and only ancestral items will appear in World Tier 4. Similarly, legendary items dropped from enemies over level 95 will always have a value of 925 item power. However, keep an eye out for uniques. Some have a chance to appear starting in World Tier 1 and 2. All uniques have a chance to drop starting in World Tier 3, and uber uniques can start appearing as once you're killing monsters that are level 55 at max power level. There's more in here. It goes on and on quite a bit, so I'm just going to kind of drop it here, and you can read all this stuff on shatteredsoulstone.com when I start putting up everything I talked about. We've got another one here from Pure Diablo. We just talked about the Iron Wolves a couple of times, so this one is also about Iron Wolves. So Iron Wolves Chronicles, a Bloodforged Alliance, written by Gazarek. Relive the storied history of this mercenary band of mages. Season 4 theme, Iron Wolves. As we all know, the first Diablo 4 PTR ran from April 2nd through April 9th. During that week, some data was mined from the PTR patch, which suggested that the Iron Wolves would be featured as part of the Season 4 theme. A handful of articles followed that shared some details about what had been uncovered. These details included an updated version of the Iron Wolves emblem, which you can see in this article, as well as several more icon and decal files, which indicated a clear link to Iron Wolves content. Included among the icon files was a map marker comprised of an Iron Wolves emblem highlighted with a seasonal green leaf symbol. Earlier today, Blizzard published a blog post that confirmed the inclusion of the Iron Wolves in Season 4. However, most of the recent Iron Wolves news has, thus far, been focused on the seasonal mechanics and cosmetics. Nevertheless, there's much more to know about this famous fellowship, so let's take an in-depth look at their remarkable story. I'm not going to read you the whole story, but I'll read you a little bit. Honor Bound. The Iron Wolves are a storied mercenary company from Khajistan whose prowess in battle was matched only by their fierce loyalty. Unlike other bands of brigands who could be bought and sold, the Iron Wolves first and foremost valued honor and duty. All their members were sworn to the quest of protecting and sheltering the weak and innocent and punishing the wicked. These combat veterans came from all walks of life, including mages, sellswords, rangers, and archers. Those who were forthright and willing to conform to the clan's ideology were welcomed into the fold. It was also their tradition to reclaim the armor of their fallen so it may continue to serve the greater good. Then there's the Iron Maiden, not the band, unfortunately. Perhaps the one fact that most commonly mentioned when discussing the history of the Iron Wolves is that they were founded by a woman named Ashira. In his memory, the fallen angel Tyriel briefly described her as follows. Quote, Ashira spent many years as a member of various unscrupulous mercenary outfits, despising the brutal tactics employed by these groups. She eventually forged the Iron Wolves, an order of sellswords that holds honor and duty above all else. I know Ashira to be strict with her followers, but also even-handed. That's a quote from Tyriel. Ashira shared an unspoken bond with her retainers and was always willing to fight side by side with them. Under her command, They rigorously adhered to their strong moral code without hesitation. Ashira's most solemn vow was that no harm would ever come to those who were under their protection. Despite her blunt tone, she was unable to hide her genuine concern for anyone who had been entrusted to her care. She also had a low opinion of the Zakarum Church, considering it to be both lacking and inferior to Scotsism. I don't know what that one is. The story goes on in this, and if you'd like to read more, there's a whole lot of words here you can get into, but this is just kind of the main idea, and I do like reading stories, but I think, you know, I don't need to read everything. Moving on, we've got a thing from Wowhead. Diablo 4 Season 4 Loot Reborn Developer Update Livestream Summary. There's a video in here, and that's kind of about it. There's a little bit of description that seems to have come from somewhere else, but you can check that out if you want to. Also over on Wowhead, new season blessings coming to Diablo 4. Season 4 increased Paragon Glyph XP Obol drop rate from Helltides, posted 2 days ago by Arctane. Here's a little bit of this. Anticipation is building as Diablo 4's fourth season, Loot Reborn, is only a few weeks away. While much is already known about the changes coming with the release of Season 4, there is still new information being released regularly. In the recent Blizzard blog post, alongside other new information, the seasonal blessings were revealed. So here they are. There are three new season blessings to unlock as you progress through the free tiers of the Battle Pass, which means you need an Xbox, I think. As you reach certain milestones, you will unlock Smoldering Ashes, which can be spent in order to unlock and upgrade each of the season blessings. These will grant various boons to aid you in your journeys during Season 4. Urn of Nightmares. Boost Paragon Glyph XP earned in Nightmare Dungeons. Urn of Iron. Boost your reputation with the Iron Wolves from Helltide activities. Urn of Burning Obols. Boost the amount of obols you can find in Helltide chests, which contain obols during this season. Increasing Paragon Glyph XP is a huge player convenience as you begin to approach endgame, as it will help save a considerable amount of time. This means less time spent farming Nightmare Dungeons and more time for the new and improved Helltides or the Pit of Artificers! Exclamation point. The reputation increase with the Iron Wolves in Season 4 can potentially be quite profitable early game, as their reputation rewards will include several tempering manuals, which are a critical component of upgrading your gear in the new and improved crafting system. Increased drop rate of obols from Helltide chests might seem to be a lesser choice than the others at a glance. However, with the advent of the itemization overhaul and new crafting system, Blizzard has also simultaneously decreased the drop rate of items. Rare items will no longer flood your screen constantly as you play the game, but if you are on the hunt for a piece of gear to craft onto, obols can come in quite handily as a means to supplement your drops with exactly what you need. Plus, if you want to try your luck at getting a better legendary aspect role to put in the codex, obols are a fantastic option. It goes on from there. And I've got a few things here to round out the show. You may have seen on Twitter Holy Knight 3000, who has been making amazing artwork about various characters within the Diablo universe, and he's got the whole thing over in DeviantArt. So there's a whole thing, and it's like really tiny to see, but if you click on these things one by one by one, you can see everything that he's posted and created. You know, it's obviously art taken from the Diablo series, but I don't think any of the Diablo workers or the company, I think they'd be really happy about, you know, how he's parsed this out. I think that's really cool. In the center of it is the thing you've seen probably when you were playing Diablo 3, and it has like all of the characters, you know, in battle basically with like gold behind them. It's kind of neat. I highly recommend you check those things out. And that's where I'm going to end the show for today. Yes, it went a little long, but I skipped a whole month, so I tried to give you a little bit more in this episode. You have been listening to episode, 451? I think it's 452. Of the Shattered Soulstone, your Diablo community podcast. Missed an episode? You can find the show blog and listen to the show archives at www.shatteredsoulstone.com. Come join us in-game. Our in-game community and clan, both named Shattered Soulstone, are open to anyone who would like to join. You could also join us on Discord for the ultimate team and community-based experience. Find the Discord invitation link on our Twitter at Shattered Stone, as well as the Shattered Soulstone website. Thank you for listening, and thank you for being patient with me while I was sick.